Welcome back, and thank you for listening. Chapter 1 was Ruth's noble choice, I will go. Chapter 2 was Ruth's lowly service, let me glean. As a brief recap of Chapter 2, Ruth went out to see what leftovers she could get from the harvested barley fields. She providentially ended up in the field belonging to Boaz, who had already heard about Ruth's kindness to his relative Naomi. Boaz, in turn, makes several provisions to ensure Ruth is safe and gets as much grain as possible. Naomi was rather excited to realize that Ruth and Boaz met, and that he had showed so much kindness. In this podcast, I'll share some thoughts from Ruth chapter 3. The theme of this chapter is Ruth's tender plea from her statement, "Take your maidservant." The chapter opens with a statement from Naomi, "My daughter, shall I not seek rest for you that it may be well with you?" She had used the same term, rest, back in chapter 1, verse 9, when it was synonymous with marriage. And so it is here. In chapter 1, Naomi was a bitter, unhappy woman, but now she has a twinkle in her eye as she takes on the role of matchmaker. She seems to have some insight into Boaz's activities because she knows exactly what he will be doing tonight and where. She tells Ruth to wash up and put on her best outfit because she is going to see Boaz tonight. So, on Naomi's coaching, Ruth goes to the threshing floor and waits until Boaz has gone to sleep. She then lies down at his feet and uncovers them. When Boaz awakes, perhaps from cold feet, he realizes someone is there. Ruth identifies herself, then makes a proposal that sounds like it is spoken in code. "Spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative." In today's language, it sounds like she's asking to snuggle with him, but that isn't what she's trying to say. If you remember our discussion of chapter 1, there was a law declaring what to do if a man died with no children. The man's brother would father children with the widow, but the children would be considered to come from the dead brother. In our story, however, there were no living brothers to help Ruth. The law did not clearly prescribe how to proceed in a case like that. It is possible that the absence of living brothers, or in the absence of living brothers, she was free to marry whomever, but it seems to be generally understood by everyone in this story that there was a hierarchy of extended family that would be expected to fulfill the role of surrogate husband, and Boaz just happened to be the next guy on that list. And when Ruth makes her tender plea, Boaz knows exactly what she's hinting at. Before saying yes or no, Boaz expresses his admiration for Ruth's character. He appreciates that she has not gone after young men. And here's another clue that he may be a good bit older than her. He then says, "Whether poor or rich." You could have found a guy who was poor but good-looking, or a guy who wasn't so handsome but was loaded. But instead, you wanted to do right by God's law and Naomi's family. He continues by saying he wants to grant her request because everyone knows what an excellent woman she is. But like every Hallmark movie, there is a plot twist. Boaz is actually not the next guy in the husband hierarchy. But there is nothing that can be done about that in the middle of the night, so they go back to sleep. Not together. Before dawn, they wake up and part ways. Boaz sends Ruth with 6 measures of grain for Naomi. Some commentators think this is the equivalent of 1.5 bushels, which would have weighed about 75 pounds. The text says Boaz laid the grain on her, so she may have been carrying it on her head, or possibly her shoulders. Ruth then gives Naomi a report on the evening. It went pretty much how Naomi hoped it would, except for the detail about there being a nearer kinsman than Boaz. But Naomi doesn't panic. She simply says she knows Boaz is going to get this settled ASAP. As we reflect on this chapter, there's a lot we can say about courtship and dating. And the question that sometimes comes up is, what exactly happened that night? Some maintain that the expression "uncover his feet" is a euphemism, and that something other than Boaz's feet was uncovered. Or when Ruth says, "Spread your covering over your maid, for you're a close relative," sounds like she's asking to snuggle with him. Add to that that threshing floors were, at the time, reportedly associated with licentiousness back in the day. Scholars can debate whether anything improper happened, but here's a salient observation from a guy named F.B. Huey. He says, "Those who interpret a sexual relation in the events reflect their 20th century cultural conditioning of sexual permissiveness. They fail to appreciate the element of Ruth's trust that Boaz would not dishonor her whom he wanted for his wife. They fail to appreciate the cultural taboos of Ruth's time that would have prevented a man of Boaz's position from taking advantage of Ruth, thereby destroying her reputation and perhaps endangering his own. Biblical writers were not squeamish about describing sexual encounters, but the writer of Ruth has deliberately refrained from saying there was a liaison between Ruth and Boaz. If read carefully and with sensitivity, it becomes clear that he was saying just the opposite. Both Ruth and Boaz acted virtuously in a situation they knew could have turned out otherwise. Chastity was not an unknown virtue in the ancient world. And that's the end of the quote. I don't think anything happened between them either, but the whole approach of coming to Boaz at night just seems like a bad idea. It put both of them at risk of being misrepresented, kind of like that song Wake Up Little Susie from the 60s, if you remember that one. If not, you can Google it. But Christians need to have the awareness how things might look to those who want to assume the worst. I know a couple who did long-distance dating. When he came up, he could have stayed in the guest bedroom in her house, and nothing improper would have happened, but he chose to stay at someone else's house altogether, so there was no room for speculation. Ruth proposing to Boaz was certainly role reversal, but it's not unheard of today. There's actually a tradition that allows women in Ireland to pop the question on one specific day, February 29th. But that just happened, so ladies, you'll have to wait 4 more years for your next chance. One more thing. Naomi's advice to get dressed up in perfume was risky. She had full confidence that Boaz would not do anything untoward, but she sure did make Ruth as appealing as possible. If I'm giving advice to single people today, I would say be careful about making yourself irresistible. Wear clothing that covers you without contouring you. Be sparing with makeup and perfume or cologne. I'm not saying to be dumpy and unattractive, but there is a middle ground between turning someone on and turning them off. You want the other person to be attracted to what's inside. Speaking of which, we see that Boaz and Ruth were attracted by the quality of each other's character, even if this was somewhat of an arranged situation. What did Boaz see in Ruth? Well, she was faithful to God, even though she was a new convert. She was loyal to Naomi, who was not even her own mum. She had initiative in going out to glean. She was a hard worker, and she was submissive and humble. As Boaz says in verse 11, she was a woman of excellence. What did Ruth see in Boaz? She saw kindness and compassion in his dealings with her. She saw his concern for her emotional well-being when he ordered people not to embarrass or insult her. She saw concern for her reputation as he sent her away that morning. She saw his desire to do the right thing for her. She saw godliness in his making obedience to the law a higher priority than his or her interests. And she saw maturity and responsibility. Altogether, he was the anti-Samson. So while the times and the situation are very different from ours, one truth still applies. If you want to find the right person, you have to be the right person. Ruth has found Boaz now, but will they get to be together? Tune in next time for the exciting conclusion of the Book of Ruth.